Happy to be back again in the Word of God. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And without the Word of God, we are lost. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Praise God. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, therefore, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a far way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to him, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Praise be to God. Tonight, we want to talk about the lost. Praise God. We just want to talk about the lost. First of all, God gave us three types of lost people. You must know by this that he wasn't talking about sheep, and he wasn't talking about kine, and he wasn't talking about real boys. He was talking about three different types of lost people who he sends out to find. Now, the first type he talked about here was a sheep type. And the sheep type is the type as many of us have been. We are so lost because we can't find our way home. And we would never find our way home. No sheep will ever find its way home. I don't know if any sheep farmers are here, but they couldn't say better than what I'm going to say. That a sheep lost is a lost creature. You have got to go for a sheep. And anywhere you have lost sheep, you must have shepherds. Or else you have nothing. Praise God. Let's just look into it a little. The nature of the sheep is one that has no instinct to return home. It can't smell like a dog. It can't track down the place it walked from. Sheep has nothing in him to turn around. He's always going. When you watch sheep, they will go, and every pasture looks to the sheep greener than the one that he's on. And he'll always be straying. It is in the nature of a sheep to stray. And so, shepherds generally have a scapegoat with their sheep, generally a white goat that the sheep follows, and you have sheep dogs, and those dogs will go and herd the sheep in, and like sheep, they will just run together. They cannot find their way home. So the basic point God is showing here is the nature of a people. Because they are sheep, because this sheep nature is that which God uses, because the nature that is within most of the people of God is a sheep nature, they have not got it. Acumen, the power, the instinct in them to turn back to God. Something must turn you back. Hallelujah. Somebody, something, some circumstance must turn you back. You will never turn back as long as you are a sheep. Long as you have the sheep nature. Now, one thing about the sheep is that he will be fleeced. They will cut off his wool this summer. And they'll cut off his wool next summer. And he will not even have anything in him to resist being fleeced. It's like a people. Like the people of God. The very nature that they have to follow God is the nature that they have to allow themselves to be fleeced. The next thing about the sheep is that the sheep will be taken to the slaughter, and it doesn't fight back like animals or anything that fights back when you're going to kill it. The sheep will just go right up and get its throat cut. The sheep must have a shepherd. And right in this group, God has provided shepherds for his sheep. There is never a place, there is never two or three people come together that God hasn't provided shepherd in their midst. Because God knows that the nature of the sheep needs a shepherd. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes and looked at Israel, he said they are like sheep without a shepherd. And that just grieved him at the heart, because he saw his people like sheep scattered on the hillside, each man going his own way, doing his own thing, following anything that moves, without a shepherd. This is mainly the cause why so many of us have been in so many churches. But there is a scripture in John chapter 10 which Jesus said, "My sheep what? Hear my voice." There is a shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. There are a lot of many other sheep. Many other sheep scattered all over. How am I going to know my sheep among all these? I just go out there and begin to say, "Come sheep, come. Come sheep, come." And all the sheep that come to me, that's my sheep. God is in this hour separating his people by his voice. Amen. And you hear some people cry, false prophet, woo, woo, woo. Amen. They're not hearing the same voice you are hearing. And if you follow them, you will be following another shepherd beside the one that sent his voice to call you. My sheep hear my voice. That is one controlling factor in the sheep nature. If you are a sheep of Christ, then you're going to hear the voice of Christ. The next thing he says, these are spiritual laws, you know. They follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So never you worry about the sheep who can't follow with you, for they're not hearing the same voice you are hearing, or else they would follow you in following Christ. In other words, you and them would go together. If you are following Christ, and you are following Christ, and you are following Christ, and I'm following Christ, all of a sudden we're going to find ourselves together. For we are all following the same shepherd. Did you ever ask yourself the question, why is it all the churches say they are Christians yet they fight against each other? If they were Christians, why are they not one? They say, "Ha ha, brother, we got you now because we are going into an ecumenical movement. Bless his holy name." Ecumenize as much as you want to. If you don't follow Jesus Christ in your ecumenism, you are still following the wrong boss.
Right.
Because God said, "My sheep hear my voice." This is a great test. If you want to purify a congregation, you just get down and hear God's voice and let God tell you something to tell that people. And when you go up and start to call out and tell them, all of a sudden some get up and leave. I remember one night there was a meeting in a certain place. A little girl, she might have been 9, 10 years of age, got up and began to prophesy. And there was something very strange about the little girl. She was moving in the spirit. And nobody had ever seen her move in the spirit before. And so everybody was shocked. It was something great happening. And she said, "The Lord says that He has, these people here are his people. And as she was talking and giving different messages, as the Lord would give her messages for people, and she was repeating what the Lord was telling her, she said she saw Satan. And she said, Satan says that some of the people here are his people also. And she said, Lord, what must I tell Satan? He said that some of these people here belong to him. God said, tell him to take his people and go. The little girl said, Satan, take your people and go. Three women jumped up like something was wrong with them and shot through the door. Amen. My sheep must hear my voice, and they must follow me. There is no way out for people of God but to follow God. They follow me, then next one. I give unto them eternal life. And what next? They shall never perish. Amen. What next? Neither shall any, the scriptures say, any man. I don't know if the word man was in the original text. Neither shall any creature pluck them out of my hands. Now, what was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying that when you are hooked on God, you are hooked. And no man, no creature, no principalities, no power can take you out of God. But yourself, of course. Free will choice. If you want to leave, you can leave. But nothing can take you, pluck you out of God's hand. And this is where eternal security comes in. Amen. Eternal security, you are as secure as ever you can be while you continue to want God. If you turn from God and don't want him anymore, then you forfeit your security. Praise God. And so, the sheep, you know, when you have some stray sheep, some sheep that are always straying and always digging holes in the fence, always finding a way to lead the other sheep out, and the sheep will follow anyone they see going, they just follow him. So when the shepherd comes, the shepherd sit down and observe them, and he find out which one is the stray one. You know what he does? He takes his sling and breaks the leg. And when he breaks that sheep leg, he bandages it, put in oil and wine, and he bandages it. And by the time the leg gets better, the sheep forget to stray. Amen. But God is the good shepherd, and he does appoint men who have the shepherd's heart, and women, if you please, to oversight his people and to work in their various and different capacities to bring his people into oneness. And I am sure this is what God is calling you into tonight. Amen. The next thing happened is that he said some of you don't have the sheep nature, but you have the lost coin nature. You are like lost coin. Can you imagine a coin dead and cold and lost? Amen. Having no value outside of its jurisdiction. You know what I mean by the jurisdiction of a coin? You take a Jamaican coin and bring it here, and it has exactly no value. I can't spend it here. I can't use the Jamaican money here. It is out of its jurisdiction. Amen. Out of its country. What the devil is doing with you, my friends, and I want you to believe this as directly from God, is putting you out of your jurisdiction where you have absolutely no value. What are you talking about? I am saying that the only place you have a value, spiritual value, is in the body of Christ and nowhere else. You try to function in other groups, in other places, you will never function unless you are functioning in divine order and in God's body. What am I talking about? I am saying that if you walk down the street and you are going to minister to somebody on the street, you've got to minister to the body of Christ. I'm saying if you go in your home and you are going to minister to somebody, you have got to minister to the body of Christ. Devils cannot receive your ministry. The Bible says, do not cast your pearls before swine. You, some of us are like a lost coin. We have value, big value sometimes. We could make the body of Christ rich with our value. Absolutely fabulous value. Amen. You know, some of those gold bullions that the pieces of eight that the Spaniards used to use in the days gone by. A little boy in Jamaica was playing at his doorstep, and he saw that pan, and he began to dig around this pan. When he dug it up, it was full of pieces of eight. The American Society of something or the other paid him $50,000 for one. Pieces of eight. You might be just a coin like that to enrich the body of Christ. Something with intrinsic value. Something with value beyond the imagination. And you have it down in the dirt, buried under somebody's foot there, just walking up and down on it. And you're saying, I'm worthless, I'm no good, you know. Nobody wants me, and you're being beat down, and you can't function. You find that your prayers don't even seem to be answered. You don't seem to be in your right place. Friends, wake up. You are not in your right place because you are not moving in divine order. What is divine order? God has set within his body apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists for the work of the ministry. God has set within his body's members. Members! But some of us are members of other groups. And because we are members of outside, we would really resist any suggestion that we should be a member of the body of Christ. It is impossible for you to be a member of another body and a member of the body of Christ at the same time. Amen. Why? Because most of the bodies are contrary to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In our outer court experience, yes, you can remain. If you are in the outer court, you can remain in your bodies, in your different churches. For you have not yet entered into the body of Christ. And in the outer court, women must keep silent. Because they're afraid you take it over. That's the real reason why Paul said women must keep silent. And when Paul said women must keep silent, he was insulting the church. That's what he was doing. He was laying down, telling them the spiritual law of women. He was giving them a spiritual law for women. And it meant to say that your church is not up to the standard of a spiritual institution. Your church is not up to the standard of a spiritual institution. Your church still have men and women in it. And boys and girls. And children must be seen and not heard. In your church. But just a little down the road, he went on to the Galatian church. He began to speak just a few passages down, and he said, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. The same Paul. The same Paul just said the opposite to what he had said a little way down the road. So then you've got to understand the Bible and the Word of God. In one place, he was dealing with a people in the outer court, a carnal people, a people who had a carnal organization, and he was saying, okay, since you are having so much quarrels, since women jumping up in here and fighting in the midst of the church, he said, let the women keep silence and let these elders rule. But when he came to the spiritual church, he said, there is neither male nor female up here, neither bond nor free. Why? Because if that child sitting in that bench gets in the spirit and begins to speak a word of the spirit, we better hear God and stop hearing children. If a woman rises up and begins to speak in the spirit, we had better hear God and realize it's God and not a woman. And if a man speak, let us pray to God, is not a man, but it's Jesus. Because we have finished with man speaking, woman speaking, man leading, woman leading. We want the leadership of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So everybody should come with a certain godly fear. And if one get out the spirit, we'll readily find it out. If we are all in the spirit, we would readily find out if somebody gets out in the spirit, out of the spirit, and begin to give off. And we would know right away that there is a way of spiritually correcting this person. I'll show you something about spiritual correction. This brother went to China. He went there as a big American preacher carrying message to Chinese people. Chinese people don't know much about God. He then carried message to Chinese. And so he had a message of the Lord. And he sent to tell these people, and they said, come. And so he drove for many, many, many miles. And finally in his jeep he reached to this place where he saw a kind of commune where Chinese lived. All these elders were wearing white robes, and the people all dressed alike. And when he got in, everybody was like this. And he thought they would get up and say, oh, brother so-and-so. Nobody moved. Nobody noticed him. They were just. So he looked around, it looked weird, everybody. And he said, he went to one elder and he shook him and said, brother so-and-so, I'm so-and-so, just arrived from the United States to give a message here today. The brother, nobody noticed. So he went in and he started to pray. And he said they stayed like that for about an hour or 2 hours. Nobody budged. Nothing happened. Just everybody. And he was feeling pretty funny. So say a funny time to preach. He said, all right, they got up, and the elder came to him and said, brother so-and-so, God sent you with message to us. Now we're ready to hear message. It was a pretty funny introduction, but so he got up, opened his Bible, and nothing happened. So he tried to talk again. Nothing happened. And so he couldn't understand what was happening, but he couldn't talk. So he got desperate, and all could come out of his mouth was just an oh, nothing more. And he said he was getting desperate now, until he felt like something was happening inside. And he went down on his knees and began to cry to God. He couldn't talk. And everybody just sit down there. And he fought and cried and cried and cried until he felt like something left him. And when the thing left him, he was able to talk. And he got up and gave his message. So when it was all over, he asked the Chinese elder, what happened? Why couldn't he talk? He said, well, you see, brother, before you came here, that little boy you see sitting down there, he got a vision from God that you had an evil spirit in you, and you were coming here with that evil spirit. So the Bible said, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, so we bound you. Are we bound the spirit? Until you were delivered, then you could talk. So when you talk, we knew you were delivered. So, you know, people, we are too modern to apply the scriptures. We seem to be too modern to really apply the scriptures as God wants us to apply. And this day applied the scriptures on this man, and it worked. And I want to see a congregation of people moving in God, so that you apply the word of God in a case like this, and only what God wants said would be said in this place. Yes, sir. We were in our church, and a woman decided to break up the church. And she said she's going to smash this church to pieces. So she came in every night, and she brought in a big gang of strong-armed men behind her. And they would noisily take their seats. And as anybody got up and started to give a testimony, thank God Jesus saved me, they said, you're a liar. And she'd get right up and said, you are a liar, and denounce the person right there before everybody. And it was pretty rough going. And we sat down there and took it. Because I know they were tempting me to get up and put them out. And they would be able to say, well, that's it, there it is, because his doctrine is going against his own doctrine. So I did nothing. And so it went on every night, until the church became almost empty. People were so beaten and distressed that they couldn't come back to church. And one Friday night she came in with our gang, and somebody was giving a testimony, and she jumped up and pointed at the person and began to talk all the things that the person did. And the Spirit of God buzzed in me, and I got up and said, Satan, I rebuke you. And the girl screamed. And she began to prophesy. And she went higher, 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 until the prophecy came out into one long scream, and she ran through the door. And as she ran, all her retinue ran at her. And they all ran down the street, and we never seen them again. Not a soul touched them.
I believe in spirit power. I believe that if there are dead coins, there must be women. The Bible said a woman. Now, who is this woman that took this broom and this lamp? The woman is the body of Christ. The broom is the Holy Ghost. And the lamp is the light that God gives you in your life. God is getting a woman in this area with a broom and a lamp. And every lost coin is going to be found. Because the Holy Ghost with its fingers searching, scraped the dirt. And the coin had, it was made of silver. And it had the king's head on one side of it, and on the other side it had the country's flag, or the whatever emblem that the country uses. So it was stamped back and front. I want to ask you the question, have you ever walked around proudly at your workplace, at your school, and have you ever seen people who have the mark of God on them and they're not even saved? Hallelujah. They have your father's image stamped upon one side, and the stamp of the country of God is on them. And they, if you are really in the spirit, you will touch them and there will be a ring. There will be a ring. The moment that broom touches that coin, chink, it's made a sound and the lamp goes down to find it. The woman is the body of Christ, that organism which Jesus Christ has in the earth. You don't have to go around knocking on doors to find souls. Souls are walking past you, driving past you, living around you, all around, and souls will be drawn to you like moths drawn to a fire. If you are walking in the light, blessed be to God Almighty, you will never lack souls coming. God has people scattered all over this place, dying, hungry. People in those churches are hungry. People in those warehouses, where they have them all packed up, are hungry. And they want life, and they want light, and they want deliverance, but they don't see it, because you are not moving in God's order. And if you're not moving in God's order, then the voice of God will not be in your midst. Hallelujah. To move in God's order, you must break away from your own thing. Your own order, man's order, your order, and man's order, and be in the Holy Ghost order. Now, is there anything like an individualistic Holy Ghost? What am I talking about? A Holy Ghost that tells you, you stay at your home and worship your God in your home, and you alone and your family, and that's it. I don't know of such a Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Ghost came, hallelujah, to reveal Christ in us, and that God is interested in the church, in the body of Christ, more than in any individual. God loves you. He's interested in you, but he's only interested in you that you might be interested in his people. And there is no selfish God, no selfish spirit, no selfish Holy Ghost who is going to tell me to build up my kingdom and build up a thing over there and make a monster over here and call it a church over there and exclude other people who don't join with me.
The moment I begin to move in God, I begin to expand. Amen. And all the people on the street belong to me. And all the people in all the churches belong to me. And I become one with all those who are one with my Jesus Christ. And I cannot see the difference whether you're a Catholic or a Baptist or so on, so on, so on, so. And the moment I begin to move in this universal spirit of godliness, then I begin to see the body of Christ. Brethren, let me tell you the truth. Those of you who are only seeing one church system as your church, you don't see Jesus Christ. You can't see the two things at the same time. If you see the Baptist church, if you see the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic, and you say that is the church, and you belong to that church, you don't see Jesus. You don't belong to Jesus. You can't belong to all of those things at the same time. Now, this is hard words, and it might as well be hard tonight, for it's going to be hard tomorrow. Amen. You see, these things are in contravention to true vision. They are against Christ. You are seeing the Antichrist, and you are calling the Antichrist Christ. That's what you're doing. You are looking at a situation, a world man-made order, which is contrary to God, to God's divine order, and you are thinking that that order is God's order. That means you don't see God's order. Now, I'm not blaming you for not seeing God's order. But I'm blaming you for seeing the devil's order and calling it God's order. For you don't see God. That means you don't even know God. Now, I remember the time when I didn't see God's order. Oh Lord, I was in trouble. I saw the wrong of the other order, but I couldn't find God's order. And therefore I went around and I had several churches that I didn't know what to do with them. I was their bishop, and the next thing happened, I was just as bad as if the Methodist church, a little worse. I was just as bad as the Catholic because I was a little worse. Why was I a little worse? I knew the truth and yet I couldn't walk in it. Amen. I was in trouble. And so I didn't know what to do. I took these churches and gave them back over to the organized church. Gave them the property and everything, get out of it. Until God could tell me what to do. Now when God began to show me what to do, I am glad that I can show it to you and impart it to you. God is showing you the body of Christ. Please look with me for God's sake. Look beyond the church organization. Look beyond the people who go around, go to church on Sundays. Look out on the streets. Look among the sinners. See the lost coins. That's God's people too. They're not in God's order. It's very often because we are not in God's order. That's why some of those people have not come in. Maybe the most mighty of God's warriors don't even come in yet. They are still out there eating dirt. Serpent food. Yeah. They are still out there being serpent food. You remember when God said to the serpent, "The dust shall you eat?" You think it was natural dirt outside there that serpent eat? I don't know of one serpent that eat dirt. He was saying to the devil, "He's going to feed on you and me." There's serpent food. They're still out there as serpent food, still out there being eaten by the devil. Their energy being taken away from them. Satan feeding on the world and on the people of the world. That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at them and you see the mark of God on them, a lost coin. You are the woman. You are the woman. But if you're not organized in God, you are out of it. for you must have your broom in order. Hallelujah. And you must have your lamp ready. Amen. Let's say you have your broom and you have your lamp, but you have no hand. Where is your hand? Your hand is cut off and put over. The hands are the ministry, brethren. And these ministry, when they come into play, they grab that broom and they begin to sweep. Yes. And that coin will surely come forth. And in this day, why I'm saying this to you, because God says in the last time he would send forth his angels and they would gather everything that offend in the kingdom and they would burn it. Hallelujah. And then they would gather the wheat into his garner. You know what the meaning of angel is? Messengers. God is not only sending spirit, angelic, invisible messengers to gather his people and to gather the people of the devil. But at this moment, there is a great gathering going on in the world. God is gathering the people of God together into little bundles like this to put in his garner. And he's gathering into other bundles, maybe bigger bundles, the people of the world. And men are all gathering to their thing for the final judgment, for the final fire. Hallelujah, which is about to be lighted even in our time, in this land and in every other land in the world. Are you still there?
Yes.
Amen. I want you to see with me a God that is sending forth his word to separate his people. Hallelujah. A God that has sent forth his word, and his word is going to separate his people and put you in your order and put you in your order. And he said, in the resurrection, every man in his own order. Did you ever think of it, what order you are in the resurrection? Whether you are first fruit, second fruit, or last fruit, what is your order? Are you going to come forth in the first batch? Are you aiming for the first batch? Or are you just anything? Are you an anything Christian? There are orders. Let me tell you the three orders that I know. He said, Christ the first fruits. That is, there are some people who will press on with God and come forth in the spirit during the tribulation and come forth in the nature and the image of God by the time the tribulation is to end. Hallelujah. There is another group of people who will be slain and sent home to glory. And they will come with Jesus when Jesus is coming after the end of the tribulation. And then there are another set of people who will live through the tribulation and who will begin to learn about God, all that we are learning here, which they wouldn't hear and understand. They will learn it in the 1,000 years. They'll have 1,000 years to learn and to grow up in God and come forth in the same nature of God, like the 144,000. So what is your order? See, and each order has a different reward. Of course, all of us will receive eternal life, that's the penny. But each order has its own reward. The woman used her broom. I am begging you, woman, when you get out there, use your broom. Make sure that you have a light to show them. For the people of the world don't read Bible, they read you. And if they see no light in you, they don't believe you're God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No matter how you chat it, they're not going to believe it unless they see. Amen. Praise God. And so we see another situation. Some are lost sons. First Fruit Company. Some of us are lost sons. We are sons of God, but we are not in God's order. We are playing around, we are in hump pins. Forgive me, brethren, I'm going to tell you something that Jesus said, and if it wasn't Jesus said, I wouldn't dare tell it to you. That's the truth. Jesus said of some people, he said the dog is returned to his vomit and the hog to his wallowing in the mire. And he was talking about people. He was talking about people with the spirit to go back into their old thing and to wallow in the mud and to love, have a nature that does not love God, doesn't love cleanliness, doesn't love a good place. And so we see God speaking this, and it just occurred to me that this son of God, this boy, this prodigal son, you know where he found himself? With the hogs. He found himself with animals of a different nature. He found himself with animals of a clean nature. And he was participating in their uncleanness. He was eating their rotten food. He was drinking their fetid, unclean water. He was drinking their pollution, spiritual pollution. And he was not a hog. But he was fighting with the hogs to get the best hunk of meat, and he would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. But there's an hour and there's a time, hallelujah, when the son must turn back home and say, Father, I'm no longer going to stay with hogs. Now if you hear that voice, you know that father was sitting there watching for him. That father was sending forth prayers for him. Come home, son, he was saying. Come home, son. Don't you see that doesn't suit you? And he said, one of these days, I'm going to arise and go to my father. And the body of Christ of you, the body of Christ needs you. Hallelujah. You are needed. Some of you have great gifts. Great gifts that cannot be even described. I don't know if you have ever seen gifts work in power, but I have seen the gifts of God work in power, save people's lives. When we went back to Jamaica the last time, we have a sister there, Sister Dennison, who is in charge of the little group in Montego Bay. And Sister Dennison was at prayer. And God said to her, get out the street. She jumped up from prayer and ran to her gate. She saw a young man coming down the street. She said, you, God said to tell you, turn back. And said, what? He said, God said to tell you, turn back. Don't go where you're going. That man broke down. Began to weep. She said, come inside, let him inside. The man began to weep and accept Jesus as his savior. Pulled out a long machete out of his waist. Said, I was going to kill that woman. Yeah. Yes. He was going to kill his girlfriend to chop her in pieces. And God sent a messenger to stop him with a direct message. Thus said the Lord God, turn back. When I went down, I met this man and he was giving his testimony. And oh, it was so glorious. Now, when you give me an offering, which I thank God for, the offerings that I get here, I feel it is part of my duty to share it and send for people like those. Yes. Because
the woman is standing for God. That is one woman I know is standing for God. And she is looking for every last time. And she stands and she watches in prayer. And God tell her what to do. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you wasting your time? Are you fooling around with many little generalities and not coming together where the power of God can move upon you and the glory of God come forth from you? Do you think there is one person here who has not got the glory of God within him to be loosed and unleashed for the glory and the deliverance of this people? Talk about you love people. Do you love God and do you love people? Then you would humble yourselves together and seek God's face and break the yoke of so many people that are bound out there by our enemy, the devil, who is having a holiday with the people. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. When the prodigal son decided to go back home, he said, I'm going back home. You know why? Because I'm a son. I'm going back home because I'm a son. There's good work for me to do. I'm going to work on my father's farm. I'm going to bring forth life from the ground. I'm going to plant seed. I'm going to work on the land. I'm going to deliver. Amen. Those that lie in the dust, dormant and dead. And I have all this power here. I'm a son. And yet, look what, look, I'm here among hogs. My God, I wish I could get this into your souls. Message that God is breaking forth on me. Hallelujah. I don't care for my life. Not even one ounce of it. Because when I look at the condition of the world, if I can do one thing to save people, to get people moving in God, hallelujah, I'll do it today if it costs my life tonight. What is life without bringing forth the will of God? What is life? What do you live for? Hallelujah. A carnal life is no good. No good, brethren. No good. And we are living, what hurts me so badly is that many of us are living other people's carnal life for them. Yes, sir. We are helping other people carry forth their thing. They don't have the burden for God. They don't love Jesus Christ. They don't want to see God's glory fill the earth. They don't want to see humanity delivered. They want to have the people in bondage so that they can buy and sell as they are doing. They want to do good business. They don't want Jesus' people, amen, to come forth in life. But I will arise. I will arise. And I will go back to my father. I said, give me some work on your farm to do. Give me some work on your farm to do. And then you'll know how your father loves you. For he'll kill the fatted calf. I'm not talking about backsliders. In the church system, we always preach this and say, this is backsliders. This is Christians who have the mark of the Son, the blood of their Jesus Christ in them, who have the name, the very name of the Father upon them, and who are not working and moving as God would have them move. He said, I'll send another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, that will abide with you forever. He shall teach you all things, and he shall lead you into all truths. You have the Holy Ghost. Why are you not being led? Why are you not being led? Because you are resisting the Holy Ghost. Oh, woe be unto those who go around trying to get people filled with the Holy Ghost to turn them off onto some system. Woe be unto those who go saying charismatic, charismatic, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. And when the people get the Holy Ghost, you turn them off and say, don't obey the Holy Ghost, follow the church. The church is a backslider. The church is a harlot. They have rejected my God. The church is going to kill some of us. They are going to kill us because they have been murderers. That harlot has murdered. The blood of the saints has marked her. Hallelujah. Pharisee, the priest, the high priest, said, crucify him. The high priest said, crucify him. Kill him. It is good for someone to die for this whole nation, he said. Kill him. The high priest. And you watch it. As you watch it, as sure as God brought us here tonight, you are going to see the same high priest rise up and say, kill them. I have a friend, Roman Catholic priest. He was born in Ireland. He's an Irishman by birth. He's a Catholic by birth. His family were Catholics. The family before were Catholics. He was born in the Catholic Church. He came up with the sacraments. He loved the Catholic Church more than anything else in his life. He was a very brilliant man, became one of their most brilliant priests. Hallelujah. One day, he was coming out of church, and a little man stood by the door of the church. And as he came along, the man pushed his hand in his bosom, pulled something out of his bosom and pushed in his hand, and this priest just grabbed it and pushed it in his bosom. He said he didn't know why he did it, because according to the law in Ireland, he should have arrested the man, for he saw that it was a Bible he handed him. Nevertheless, he took the Bible into his room. He locked the door, drew the windows, and began to read it. And as he opened the Bible, he said, there is no mediator between God and man save the man Christ Jesus. He shut it back. He said, my God, what is this? And as he shut the Bible, he didn't know in his confusion, he rushed and switched on the radio. And there came a man blazing out of the radio with a gospel message on top of him. And he said he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And when he accepted Jesus as his Savior, he began to read this Bible. And God was just showing him things in the Bible. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues in his room. He can't tell them now. He doesn't know what to do. He said, God, he began to pray. God came to him and said, I want you to tell all nations what I tell you. Tell them, preach the word. So he decided to hide it a little bit, still afraid to preach it. And immediately he was up for promotion. They promoted him, sent him to Canada to take charge of a whole lot of churches, promoting him to a big high position. And when he reached Canada and came down in a train station or somewhere there, blindness hit him. He was totally blind. They had to lead him back to Ireland. When he went back to Ireland, he was blind for 2 years. And in that blindness, he got a long time to think it over. So as he was praying, Jesus came to him one day and said, I will give you your sight, but you must preach what I told you. He said, all right, God, I promise you I'm going to preach it. And so his eyes opened. Although the doctor said it was impossible for him to see again, his eyes were shut completely. His eyes opened and he went back to church and started to preach. And everybody thought he was crazy. And they, for a while, they allowed him, but when he was getting too bad with this Holy Ghost and the various things, they had to take a charge of him and apprehended him and put him in jail. They put him in jail and they begin to work him over. To cut a long story short, they finally decided that they couldn't allow him out again and they were going to kill him. And so he said,
They took off his clothes and they beat him, and he was bloody all over. And they were going to kill him now because he had taken up the hated Protestant people doctrine. He had been talking about Holy Ghost, and he was lost now to them, so they were going to slay him. And as after they beat him and took off his clothes, he said his clothes were all covered with blood, so they took away the clothes. And he said, God, you told me to preach. And he said, no sooner than he had prayed to God, he saw his clothes clean and neatly folded beside him. He took up the clothes, he put on the clothes, and he said, but God, I'm still in prison. And by the time he had said that, he found himself standing out in the yard. And he looked up at the high walls, and he said, but God, the walls are here, I can never climb these. And he found himself standing on the street, the busy street, with people walking all around. God had transported him out of the prison. And to cut a long story short, God helped him and transported him right to Jamaica. And that's where I meet him, and that's where he's ministering now. Praise be to God. God is still alive in these days. God is still working for his people in these days. Hallelujah. I think of the how many of you have read Meltari's book? Praise God, a good number of us. Well, in that book, the Catholic priest said that the images that they had were not images, they were saints. And the brothers said, but they are images. God said, you have some images here. You worship images. And he said, no, we don't worship images. We worship God. This is Jesus, and this is Mary, and this is Saint so and so and Saint so and so. And they said, all right, let us see. And God told them to put all the saints in the center of the room. And God said, back off. And no sooner they backed off, fire came down from heaven and burnt the ceramics and burnt everything, including the iron. And the brass burned it to ashes right in the middle of the room before everybody. Said that Roman Catholic priest repented. He ran for the rest of the idols and said, let God burn them too. Put them in the center of the room, and all those statues were burned. May God help you tonight to realize what I am saying. God is calling his people together. My people, said the Lord God, come out from among them and be ye separate. Hallelujah! God is speaking to you, and I believe you hear his voice, for I believe you are his sheep. I wouldn't waste time talking to you if you weren't the sheep of God. I believe you hear God's voice, and I believe you must begin to move in divine order. Listen to God. You know where God is? In times past, God spoke by prophets and by teachers and this, that, and the other. Don't take what any prophet say and just run off and go and build your castle. Don't do that. But take what this says. Hallelujah. If you have Jesus, we're going to find out. Glory to God. If you have Jesus, he's going to speak in you. In these last days, God speaketh by his Son. Amen. Hallelujah.